calling the beginning of Siman Beis. So Siman Beis is also similar to Siman Aleph, that each one of the Sifim, each one of the Sifim somewhat stands by itself. So the first one is Lo Yilbash Chalukah Meyushav. They used to sleep without clothing. So a person would get out from under the covers. He would be uncovered. He would not have any clothing on, and he would be uncovered. So a person has to act b'tznius. So he shouldn't put on his shirt sitting up, which means he's uncovered. But rather, take the shirt, put it over your head, put it on your arms, and then as you're sitting up, you'll pull down the shirt, so you have no point where you're uncovered. As he stands up, he will be covered. Okay, so there's a concept of sneeze. This concept of sneeze applies to men. This is Allah applying to men, not to women specifically, but applying to any person, man or woman. Kadosh Baruch Hu is the Kadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. Kadosh Baruch Hu is even inside of our beings. So the fact that we don't have clothing on is vis-a-vis Him. It's not the point. The point is we need to act with the recognition of His presence being there. And the way you act is you act with a certain element of sneers. The person is uncomfortable with presenting himself improperly vis-a-vis his creator. So that's a Gemara in Shabbos. So the Mishnah Berurah is going to go through some of the points of the Gemara. Meyushav Aleph. The Ozer Bechrech is Galuguf. If you sit up, you're going to be uncovered. A person needs to act with sneers and with being uncomfortable, being uncovered with busha in front of his creator. Even if it's nighttime and he's in a room inside of a room, nobody else can see him. But haloi, malay chalars, kavod Hashem is everywhere. Light and darkness mean nothing to a Kodesh Baruch. There's no difference between the two of them. In general, prison should not be uncovered. This again, this is the law which applies to men. That you know, the idea of people walking around uncovered, even for men, it's improper. You have to stand, living with awareness of the presence of Kadosh Baruch Hu, which requires us to be covered. Even a little bit of your body, also to be uncovered, is improper. What part? Whatever is normally covered should not be left uncovered. So that leaves a very wide definition. Or it's because once upon a time that was a large part of the body was normally covered. In that mukkah was clear that these halachas would apply. Alva Rishoy legalis yodei ad kuvdai. With Savara Adakosa, you're allowed to uncover your arm up to the elbow and your neck down to the collarbone. Alkane Hawan Pilos, Yirul Lobsham or the Foshtram Gam Kentakal decided you should take off your socks under the covers, Mishnah Berurah says. Shalagalas Raglav, you wouldn't walk in front of the king with your barefoot. Shadarkam Yis Mukhusis Loyalum Bimadina Selu, Shane Holkim Yochim Philippakayats. In a country where they go, let's say the Middle Eastern countries where the custom was to go barefoot, so then this halacha would not apply. The place where the derech is that not to do that, so then you have to sort of extrapolate okay. So now the question is again, so he's definitely opening up the concept of minhag hamakom plays a role. So how do we define this? Like, what's the definition? So Rashi says in the Tshuva, the definition is like this. If you'd be expecting a visitor to come visit you, somebody of stature, how would you dress? That's in this country, the way you dress to greet people of that of stature, that's the way you should dress in general. That's the level of covering you should have. That's how he defines it. In other words, this idea of Rashi, that Mishnah Berurah is saying. So in the Middle Eastern countries, they would stand in front of the king barefoot. They stand in front of the governor barefoot because that was normal over there. right? You wouldn't walk in front of, you know, in America, as much as they don't walk around, you wouldn't walk in front of a very, very significant customer. You wouldn't walk into the president barefoot. You wouldn't do that, right? Why not? Because apparently we agree in America that there's nothing wrong with being barefoot. Really? Okay, so nothing wrong with being barefoot. Why wouldn't you walk in front of the president being barefoot? So the answer is you agree that there's something wrong with being barefoot, but there's, you don't really don't care about being wrong. You know. So there's a level which so that's how the Mersh understands the concept. That's how you draw the shear. What's considered normally covered under those circumstances.
Country sometimes changes over the years too.
What?
Country's mores change over the years.
Correct, right?
That's
what Marsha was saying.
President dresses would not have been acceptable 20 years ago.
Correct, right? So he's just saying that the point is we'll take, but the standard isn't what you don't go to the lowest common denominator.
Well, I'm just saying I'm picking the highest common denominator. Essence, you're saying the president of the United States. You're talking about a king. Well, we don't have a king here, so we have a president. So basically, the way the president dresses today would not have been even acceptable 10 years ago, let alone
right.
20. So then does that change the
race
of the country?
It, well, that definitely does. But
I mean, it does, but I don't, that wasn't my question. I
rephrase the question.
Correctly. I mean, does that change our halacha on how you're supposed to dress? I mean, put it this way. They said Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, when he went into Congress, he put on his coat. The president, as soon as he goes in front of a stage, he takes off his coat. So,
agreed. Right now, we're not even dealing with so much. Later on, Hilchos Tefillah, he'll deal with that level.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, how would you stand? But here's something that's at level of being covered. The mouth of the part which has to be covered. The normal is the part where you would feel uncomfortable having uncovered in the presence of in a more formal situation. That's the level of covering that you need to deal with. Okay. And that's the shear that we use. Unless the situation doesn't allow for it. For example, person goes to the Merchats. They got uncovered, they go to the Merchats. When we don't have public bathhouses, they had public bathhouses. So the public bathhouse, that's how you went. So the Ein B'zeh Mishum preaches, that's not considered preaches, that's considered the norm. That, for that place, that would be the proper way to dress. A person is going swimming. So you should dress and undress next, whatever level that it's considered normal to dress or undress for swimming. That should be done by the river. It shouldn't be done halfway across the town and then walk. I'm going swimming, you know. So I sit in my house and I walk 3 miles to the river, dressed like I'm ready to go bathing suit, you know. So obviously you get as close as possible. You have no need to in that place to be uncovered, so you shouldn't go like that. Now they used to go swimming without swimming trunks either. Okay, so you do not need to cover it. That's the way they swam. So going down to the river, you have no need to cover that. This is the Magen Avraham. The Magen Avraham takes it a step further. If in this place it's normal to go uncovered totally, and therefore you're allowed to go like that, so what are you embarrassed of? You're embarrassed of the fact that you have a bris there. When you come out of the river, you're facing towards people. A person should then cover his erva. Okay, so we're gonna play roles for that makom, what's considered acceptable for that proper for that makom. It does play a role. The garment of a Talmud Chacham is he wears a garment which you can't see his skin. Now, that means all the way down. Vayidna in his arm is that we don't wear a cloak which takes us all the way down to our feet. Bishum shalchum akob about the shokayim, vayim abasar niris. We wear shoes, we wear socks, so we don't have this issue. We wear boots, but they wore sandals, sandalim, with no socks. So therefore, he wore a garment which went all the way down to his feet, for that reason. Okay, so the person puts on his clothing in such a way that even though he's sleeping unclothed, when he sits up, he should be clothed. Kishayakum or tolermer. Kishayakum v'yetzim etachas kisri sedino. When he gets up and he gets underneath, gets out from underneath his covering, sheimunach sham orim kishab, which he was sleeping without clothing. Kishapazachalu, he take off his garment.
What's mean kolshen b'soro nereis mitachtov?
You don't see. You can't see the skin anywhere underneath this, all the way down to the floor. So now he gets off. Gets up. He'd taken off his long garment. He gets up in the morning. If he would stand up right away, he would not have a garment. So he puts it on such a way that it will be covering him as he gets off. He gets up. He out to take him mechus. He'll be covered right away. So if he puts his head through, when he puts his arms through, as he sits up, the garment will go down and cover his body. They already described how to take it off when you go to bed at nighttime. Again, that's done in such a way that you're not uncovered. Okay, so the Mishnah Berurah gets off into these interesting shikha issues. Ramash has interesting tshuva about being orim in the bathroom, you know, changing in the bathroom. You know, so do you have to follow this, you know, limit of covered, uncovered, etc.? So he says, if it's a bathroom which has a shower, and therefore it's, the derech is in the when your person's in the shower, usually they take off their clothing, right? Most of the time, as far as I know, right? So the person comes out of the shower unclothed. So this is a room where being unclothed is considered normal. So if that's true, so he's allowed to get dressed, even if he's not taking a shower that day, whatever, he's not, you know, when he's changing that point in time, he can get undressed by totally getting undressed and then getting dressed. He doesn't have to, you know, cover himself in between. If it's a bathroom, which he would not normally stand there unclothed, totally unclothed, because there's no shower in there, it's just a bathroom or something like that, he says, then that mokum is not made to be totally unclothed. So he should be careful how he gets dressed and undressed in that room, because it's not a place which is made to be orim. It's not like the merchatz where a person normally stands orim. So he does make that differentiation.
So why is it different in a mokum where it's normal to be unclothed?
It's a good question. I mean, the whole concept of Malach Haaretz Kavod, it has difficulty applying it because the Roshim is inside of our skin also. So he sees us from inside out, so we always never have clothing. You know, you take the concept of every Tzaddik, we have to train ourselves about that awareness. But as much as we created a concept called the Beis America, it's where a person gets, we don't take showers with the clothing on.
I understand, but I'm saying,
why do you understand that? You know, theoretically, should you know, we'll learn how to soap yourself through your clothing. That's why you never be uncovered. But we don't do that. So once it became a mokum, that's considered acceptable. So that's not a lack of the record. You know, it's not a mokum where we expect the person to act uncovered.
Theoretically possible.
Yeah, I'm saying it's theoretically possible. You know, make a new chumra. You know,
it's not a mokum where we would expect a person what
to be covered.
To be covered.
Okay.
The person try to be more uncovered for less time, even in the shower.
Not that I'm aware of. Ramosha does say that even if, though it's Mikra Din, let's say the place where the shower is Mutter, he says he does see it as a mila for a person trying to limit his being uncovered. Not for the when you're taking a shower, when you're you know, person's getting dressed and undressed. But he doesn't say, he says that when Mikra Din, in that case, you're not required to. Hamaniach Malbushav Mirash Yisav. In other words, the Gemara, it's interesting, just interesting point, because the Mechaber says, Lo Yibash Chalukah Miyushav, it's a din. He puts it down as a din. Doesn't put down as a midas as chassidus. You look at the Gemara, it's a Gemara in Shabbos and Kufiyot Ches. The Gemara goes through a list of Tanaim Aroyim, which had unique things that they're very makbid about. Each one was makbid in a certain thing. You know, one was very careful. He never walked down the house without wearing tzitzis. One time he was standing on the ladder and the tzitzis tore, and he stayed on the ladder for hours till they brought another pair of tzitzis, etc. The Mora was talking, and the Mora says this idea of one of them, he never was seen uncovered. So similar reading the Mora, this is a Midas Chassidus. The Shulchan Aruch presents it as a halacha. And the Beis Yosef quotes the source for this is that Gemara. You know, then the Bear Grill will tell you it's a Gemara in Shabbos, Taf Yechim, Kuf Yud Ches. So Rav Moshe does comment that in that Shuva, you know, is it Midas Chassidus or is it Ikar Adin? Because the Shulchan Aruch seems to take out of it and making it into a halacha, not into a Midas Chassidus. I don't remember all the details. I didn't look up the Shuva now. I haven't seen the Shuva in a while. But remember, he does touch on that question. And he does touch on certain things, you know, in certain situations we'll call it Mikra Adin, in certain cases we'll call it Midas Chassidus. I don't remember the details of when and what.
The Torah also holds like
that? The Torah also presents it as a Din. Oh no, the Torah is not so clear. The Torah quotes the Gemara. That Rabbi Zeiro, whoever it was Makbid not to do X. So that leaves us up open for interpretation, what that means. Okay. Now the Mishnah Berurah goes into a list of the different things that, you know, which have to do with clothing and forgetting your learning. And then it goes out the things which cause you to forget your learning. So a person puts his clothing under his head. He goes to sleep. He sleeps on, using his clothing as bedding. You know, that's his pillow. He takes his long garment off, rolls it up, and uses that as his pillow. So mshachech tamura, that causes limura, it causes him to forget his learning. It's a Kabbalistic concept that has, you know, there's no logic behind it why the way it is, but that's the way it is. Okay. Dine Weiss has a tshuva where he was asked by somebody that there's a minhag some people have that they say that there's that if you eat the end of the end of the loaf of bread, the ends, you forget your learning. So they asked him, is there such a makor, such a concept? So he answered with the following. He answered with a chuvis. He quoted a chuva to one of the late Rishonim, if I remember who it was, that he was asked a question that, you know, the Masha Saftos Omros, you know, Baba Maisa, we call it in English, right? About a certain thing which is dangerous for your health. You mukhid the makbid on it because that's what the Babas say, even though there's no known source for it, etc. So he said, this Rishon answered that, you know, you're dealing with issues of a sakana. There's a reason why the Baba says it. We don't know exactly why, where she got it, where they got it from, but the Baba say it, the Saptos Omros. You have to be machmer when it comes to sakana issues. You don't ignore what the Baba says. So Dine Weiss says there's no makor for this idea of eating the end of the challah that affects your learning. But if it's true, when it comes to physical danger, I'm not taking any chances of forgetting my learning. I'm not eating that. If the Baba say it, right, if the Baba Taka say it, I'm not touching the end of the challah. And I'm Akbar, as he says, you don't take chances of these type of things. Interesting, Rechem Kanievsky has a sefer called Sefer Zikaron, where he lists anything which there is a makor. The four things which are good to help you remember it, and which are, you know, which are detrimental to your learning, to your remembering your learning. He has a list of them. So he has a list of 37 things which are makaris and somewhere in Chazal that they can cause you to forget your learning. I don't remember all of them, by the way. You knew that was coming, right? But he makes a list of all of them that which we find recurs in Chazal. These are the Rishonim, you know, that they found that these are things which are, and some of them are, you know, why? Because, you know, you tell me, I trust you, you know. After, that this halacha was only if it's directly using it as bedding. But if you put it on your pillow, you have a pillow in between, so you have something in between, so that's not a problem. We don't put two items of clothing on at the same time. That's considered that it can cause a person to forget something. Fine. So we're talking about issues of shikha. A person who reads, he goes to a matzeva and he reads the matzeva out loud.
out loud.
That means out loud. The Shulchan Aruch Rav says the Aruch Hashulchan says it means out loud. The person reads it. Korei Lashon Kriya. He reads it out loud. He says, "Oh," he says, "Look what it says over here." He says, "Po Nitman." So that's not kosher l'shicha. That's not good. Or a person is stuck up a Pthea Mace. A person looks directly at the Pthea Mace. You know, which, you know, I once had a shot. Somebody asked me, you know, because of his business situation, he was invited to a wake. Right, so they have the mace there open.
Right,
you know. So mistaka b'fnei hamace. I said, they told me there's a mug in a Roma says that the isra is mis. It says that whenever you use the language of mistaka, mistaka means a focused gaze, but a glance is not a problem. It says mistaka b'levona. It says the usual language of mistaka b'fnei isha. Says he says the more says the Rekiva saw. Turnus Rufus Harosha, the wife of Turnus Rufus Harosha, his wife came to entice Rabbi Kiva. So Rabbi Kiva made a comment about her beauty. So the Mogen Rambam says that he's also to look at a woman. So he answered that Isser is to mistakel on a woman. And he wasn't mistakel, he happened to see her. That's not called mistakel. So I would imagine the same language mistakel applies over here. In general, these type of things, the concept is exactly as said. So if you change one element, you know, it doesn't have that. For example, there is a brought down an halacha that it's dangerous for a man to walk between two women. And so the two women standing, a man walks between that, it's considered dangerous for your health. So what do you do? So one of the person says, if you hold a pen, so you walk in between, there's you, yourself, a pen, and a woman. It's not between two women anymore, because it's between you and a pen. Right? So it's exactly as written. So if there's something, you know, anything which makes it different, so during the weekdays I use a pen, the Shabbos I use my glasses, I walk, you know, I hold my glasses in between, you know, like, you know, it's very interesting to try and work it out, you know, certain places it's easier to make it, get the women, they're familiar with this concept, so can you please move over to the side, some places you can't do that. Okay. So it's exactly as written. He talks about things which help you get back your learning. So we take this very seriously. Okay. Beis. I don't know why it's a separate sif. You know, well, why can't we just make it one long sif? You should be careful how you drink and dress, because don't say that you know I'm all by myself. Nobody can see me. Kadosh Baruch Hu can see everything. Gimel. Yidaktek bechaluka lulav shekedarka shayahapach apnimi lachutz. You should put your garment on properly, that you shouldn't put it on inside out. So there's basically this long cloak. It looked basically the same inside and out. Right? But there is a hakpada to wear it the proper way. And again, it's not considered a derech eretz for yourself, covet of yourself, to wear it, because you'll end up seeing the stitches on the outside. Like, you know, theoretically, if you're really... I don't want to use the word cheap, because it's not a good word. You're a. You save yourself a lot of tear of washing. The stain on the outside, you just turn and wear it inside out. You know, you don't have to worry about. You know, I can save myself time. You know, so you know, don't do that. Mishabur sekut and gimel bechaluka afishu tachos kama bushim, and that's even if there's other garments on top of it. Lekolshke mishar begodim, and this is obviously true by other godim which are visible. Yes, you should not wear inside out. Lechutz. If you wear it inside out, so the stitches on the outside, the stitches look very nice. Inside, the stitches look all, you know, who cares what the stitches look like inside? That, you know, so you're seeing these strange stitches, and you also see the imrei acholuk are the edges of the garments, edges of the material. And people will say, well, that looks strange. So you have a chiv to respect yourself. You have a chiv to dress in a way that you shouldn't make yourself look foolish. If he wasn't careful, he put it on inside out. Im tamach kochum hu, tzarich l'poshter v'lachshu l'lov shekadarkei. If it's a tamach kochum, you need to change your clothing. You need to correct it. Why shlo yia b'chlal masniyai chas v'shalom? The Mor says that a person with tamach kochum is looked at with respect. And if he acts strange, people will then say, look, you know, what do you get for learning Torah? You end up with strange people. So it's going to, chas v'shalom, cause people not to like Hashem. You know, not to respect the Torah properly. So you're going to be a masniyai. You're going to make Hashem hate it. Chas v'sholem. So you can't take such a thing. Shar kol ha'amin tzar, but it's not a talmud chacham which they're going to, you're going to, not somebody which people would put on a certain level of respect, and therefore it's going to be denigration by doing so. If you did it, you did it. You're not mechuyav to go change. But ulatfila, when it comes to davening, a filo kol adam tzar kol poshu v'lov shekadarka. You need to correct it. Shroy oz lahader begadav kimavur b'simin tzadiyal. But it's proper to dress nicely for davening. Okay. Toiv, new point. She asked him, Shnei tzire hamalbosh b'yad yaminoi, b'yilbosh ha-yamin rachakach ha-smol. This is an Arizal, if I recall correctly. Kavanas is the Arizal. The Arizal says that the way we show the hiskabros of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's beat of yamin over the meat of smol, which the right side is chesed, the left side is gebura, so it applies to the action of the human being also. We show that by the way we get dressed. So if you start off with everything in your one hand and you put on the right side first, over the left side, you're giving precedence to the right. You're strengthening the chesed, the side of chesed, over the side of gevurah, whatever that means. And the truth is, this is a fascinating Kabbalistic concept. We've got a minute or two. Just, if you think about it, the idea of gevurah, what's gevurah? Chesed is, it's chesed and din. Gevurah is the version, as it were, overcomes its midas of chesed and gives din. So we look at din as like the opposite of chesed. It's not true. Since the Zohar already talks about why the Bereshit likes giving, so great to make a rule. But the Bereshit just gives. Like, what's this whole thing? Mitzvahs, aveiros, punishment. Teres says he created us in such a way we prefer to earn it. You can't earn if there isn't a consequence, a negative consequence. Listen, you can earn it, but whatever you do, it's okay anyway. So at the end of the day, it's worthless what I did. The only way it's called earning if I can do good and I can do bad, I can win and I can lose. So the only reason why there's a concept of din is because it enhances the chesed. It makes the earning more valuable. And if the greatest chesed is to be able to earn it, din really is a result of the concept of chesed. So that everything of the small really comes from the yamin. All of the different meters of smol really are connected back to the yamin is the main point, is the chesed, and these are talot of that concept. So you have that in mind when you get dressed in the morning. The result says, because of the Rambam, malbush shachachem yeh malbush nov and noki. It should be nice. It should be clean. There can't be any type of stain or fatty oil on it, etc. You have to make sure that doesn't happen. But you don't act dress very fancy. Everybody stares at them. Something which is not of correct respect. So the Rambam has a beautiful parak where he goes to a lot of the hagas of the Talmud Chacham. What do we expect from a person? A person really has to have a certain derech eretz and respect for himself. It's interesting. I'll just tell you two interesting things about this. When you're Bacharman tells, the Rishiva expected us to wear ties as a bacher, because in those days, about businessmen wore ties. He says, you're not any worse than a businessman. You're a talmud chacham. So you have to respect yourself. But a lot of guys wore ties. 18, 19, 20 year olds walking around white shirts, ties. That's how yeshiva bacher dressed. Rishiva himself, you never saw him not perfect. His clothing was perfect. It was always a beautifully, clean. You're talking about the guy who gets up in the morning, goes up to the rug, Rav gets up in the morning, goes to the closet. What should I wear today? White shirt. Okay, white shirt. I'll take a black jacket also today. Like, what's other choice? He wore a kapot, but it was always perfectly clean. It was always perfectly clean. So it was.
If you look at the old pictures from Mir in Europe, they all dressed. They're pretty stylish.
They dressed, not only.
Clean, but stylish.
Yeah, they were stylish. Well, that was in Hugger, which was actually started by the altar from Kelm. Because in Europe, the attitude towards Yeshiva Bacharim was that they were the lowest of the low. They were the lowest of the low. They used to eat tag at people's houses. They had no income. They were supported by the people. And people's attitude to them was that, as the Haskalah developed, etc., and people said, the attitude towards Yeshiva Bacharim was they were the lowest of the low. So the Gedolim decided we need to revamp this system and create the outer. But there's somebody, they dress specifically stylishly and nice clothing. It tells they took away the whole concept of Essenteg, and they made a dining room. for this reason, you know, that eating people in people's houses. Rebbeinu tells him one time said it, you know, he said in Yiddish, "Tu on a fine bachram epaulette," and I put epaulets on my bachram shoulders. Like, I mean, his goal was to make them look really, you know, people should respect them.
Because it's interesting because the black hatters didn't wear black hats in those.
No,
they wore white hats.
They wore white hats, gray hats. Rebbeinu Meir, I picture Rebbeinu Meir Bloch wearing a gray kapata.
Yeah,
in America. Yeah, but so there was different, you know, but that was an issue which they needed to address. Okay, Dalid. You know, minol yamin tchila v'lo yikshirenu. So the way we put on shoes. This is right, but now most people are familiar with this. This is a. You know, minol yamin tchila v'lo yikshirenu. You put on your right shoe first, but you don't tie it. And you put on the left shoe. So in regards to the precedence of a garment, we give a precedence to the right over the left. You put on the right first. When it comes to kshira, we give a precedence to the left because we find by tefillin we tie left tefillin on our left side. So it comes to the concept of being kosher, of tying something, the left gets precedence. So you tie the left shoe first. You put on the right, then the left, then you tie the left, then you tie the right.
We have to take them off. How do you untie? Untie them. Makes a difference? I guess you should untie the left one first, too.
In general, the way we take them off, we untie the right first, and then we untie the left.
Well, isn't the left more important?
So, I don't know, but you leave the left tied.
Like, you're going to bed, so you untie your left shoe.
You untie your right, then you untie your left, then you take off your left, then you take off your right. So, the chashivas is keeping it in it.
Oh, to keep it in.
Keep it kosher for longer, right? Or keeping it on for longer.
So, you untie the right.
You run to right, then left, then you take off the left, and take off the right. You know what means? There's no tying. It's just very simple. You just put on the right shoe first. This actually is a Gemara. This is, you know, this discussion of the order is a Gemara. The more asks has a machloikus. The more says it's not a machloikus. He's discussing putting on. He's discussing tying. So the more makes that, you know, resolution between the two of them. Sifkat and hey yamin. In general, we give precedence to the right side. So the halacha of the, by the mitzara, different cases. It's the right thumb. It's the right big toe. It's not the left one. When it comes to tying, we give cheshivas to the left side. You put your tefillin, you tie your tefillin on your left arm. It comes out of the chara. If a person is a lefty, who wears tefillin on his right arm, so he puts on shoes differently. He actually puts on shoes. Now there are people which are left footers. As opposed to right footers, most of the right footers means they give precedence to the right foot over the left foot. So if you're a left footer, a lefty, and a left footer, you actually put on your shoes. Differently, Rav Chaim Kanevsky has a beautiful kuntres, which he goes through. We find, you know, when we have issues of when do lefties do things differently than righties, and when do they do them the same? So he goes through. He makes actually a set of 9 rules, which are followed to calculate right versus left. Then he goes through 108 examples of the applications of these rules. So he made it very, very short by him, and he writes things very short. Somebody got Rishus and actually took that and made that as the top and wrote a whole sefer of Pirish on the bottom. So it's like a 150-page sefer based on Rav Chaim Kanevsky's thing is about 3 pages long. He made a whole sefer out of it using that as the text, and this is his commentary on the bottom. This is called Kuntres Ish Iter. Okay? So Rav Chaim says that whenever there's a concept of Yamin which represents the idea of the precedence of a Kodesh Baruch Hu's right over Kodesh Baruch Hu's left, even lefties always give precedence to the right hand. If it's something which you were showing idea of cheshivas to something, so we use our stronger hand, so then the lefty would do differently. So this idea of yamin giving precedence, it's because the meat of yamin of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, we're talking about the idea of the meat of a yamin of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, so the shoe will go on, he'll put on the right shoe first, but he ties his right shoe. Because he has no reason to wait. Because the tying is on the right side. So he puts on the right shoe and he ties it. He puts on the left shoe and he ties it. So that way he's different than everybody else.
What is this concept of Hashem's preference of right over left? What does it matter? applied to a human, or
well,
that humans do that way. Well, what's the right and left for him?
Right? So right and left for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu has no physical reality, but the Zohar says that, you know, we know that a human being was created with Tzelem Elohim, which means that we have a physical representation of the different ways the Kadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. So he doesn't know physicality, but the same way. So the same way, there's a stronger side and a weaker side. The Bereshit has a mita of Chesed and a mita of Gevura. The mita of Chesed is the more dominant over the mita of Gevura. And et cetera, et cetera. And it goes through what the right arm versus the left arm, the right foot versus the left foot. Each one represents some element of different anhagas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in general, the precedence is given to one side, which is called the stronger side, because that's how human beings are made that way. The reason we're made that way, because it reflects a reality where HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. That's not very doing justice to a concept which takes tremendous amount of pages in the Zohar. But that's a general concept. When it comes to socks, in Tzorach Lahakdim Smol Kshira, they used to have like a sock where they would tie up the socks. It was like a felt. You ever saw in Russia people wore like a thick sock that was the shoe. Maybe we had like stocking slippers type of thing, but it's old. So it's a felt material as opposed to a. So they also had tying. It's that. Over there, there's no din. It wasn't a real shoe for this concept of giving precedence one to the other. Mitu yach meniach tefillin b'yamin shel kol adam yachtim yamin gam l'kshira. See, person who wears tefillin on the right side, so he ties the right side also. Yamin tefillin, he put on the right shoe first. Yamin yizam lo shashu. Even if you pick on the left shoe first, yavda na shivir lo kshayamin. You wait till you get your right foot. You put your right foot. You have to wait. When you're washing yourself or you're putting on anointing yourself, you wash the right side first. You're doing on your whole body. We give precedence to the head. Okay. So when you take off your shoes, you take off the left one first. It's made out of a felt. It's a felt sack.
Winter, typically, they wear it in the winter. Right. They put not the sack, but they put the clothes, they wrap the foot so it doesn't get worn out or gone.
Okay. Chalitz Sivkot and Ches. Giselle, Kodesh, the Kabbalah, you mean stays on for longer. So that's what this idea is. So you would. So you take off the left one first, then you take off the right one afterwards. In regards to untying, he doesn't mention it, but the other person mentioned this idea that you untie it in reverse order. Okay, you know, let's do Sif Vav. I don't want to run through the Mishnah Berurahs. There's a lot of information in the Mishnah Berurahs. So we'll at least do the Sif, and then some next week, Monday night, we'll do the Mishnah Berurahs, and then maybe we'll look at the Sif again, just refresh our memories. But also, a person should not stand with a haughty stance. He shouldn't walk with a haughty stance. The person, like very, you know, he's, you know, Karma Skupa is like a very erect posture, which comes across being haughty. You're, again, the Gemara says it's like, you know, the Bereshit, the Gemara says the person meets God. The Bereshit says he and I don't occupy the same space. Now, you know, fine, he gets to have his own space, but that's not a good thing when he sort of like gives you a vacuum and you get to exist in your own space. V'lo yelech begili roish, arba amas begili roish, you should not go for amas with your head uncovered. You make quite a shkina because of the cover of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's presence above you. Now, so this is going to be the loch of Yarmulke, and there's a lot of information about the Mishabur about Yarmulke, so we'll talk about that. And the next step is, you know, because this is the process of a person getting dressed in the morning. So v'yiv tuk nekava, the next step would be the person should attempt to relieve himself. The person should check to see if he needs to relieve himself. A person in general should be covered. A person should not walk barefoot. The more discouraged I did walking barefoot, unless it was a makom, it was normal to walk barefoot. It's proper to a person to especially in those days, you know, they went to an outhouse. So you should be accustomed to get up in the morning. So as you get up, you should go out to the outhouse and relieve yourself. And in the evening, before you come in, you know, before you really go in for the night, you should relieve yourself. Well, it's good. It's healthy for the body, and it's reasons to do that right away. So that's the Ramah's elements over here. But the Mishnah Berurah, the Karmic Skufa, we'll talk about. But the main thing we want to talk about is the Lachos of Yarmulke. There's a lot of information about the Lachos of Yarmulke, so I don't want to run through that. So let's hold that for next week. Okay.